Hello and welcome to Beauty Inside Out, where I share my experiences, insights, and knowledge of health, beauty, and wellness, as well as interview pioneers within the industry on a variety of topics. I am your host, Kimberly Snyder. I love to discuss topics that are on my mind and in my heart. So joining me in the conversation every week is my dear friend, Tony, or as I like to call him, T. Tony was my co-host on my previous podcast, and he's back to join me for these topical weekly segments. Hey, beauties, welcome back to our Monday podcast. And hey, T, how's it going up there in San Francisco?
It's really good. I'm doing awesome. Thank you so much.
And as you guys may or may not know, T is my nickname for our beloved Tony, who is my sidekick on this part of the podcast. And he and I have been long-term friends. And Tony is a brilliant researcher up there in Northern Cali. He went to Stanford and he's been writing and researching and working in the health space for a while. Oh, so Tony, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
So I want to talk today, T, about nutrient deficiencies. And I want to talk about it from a really practical, positive standpoint, because there's a lot of ways that we can correct certain deficiencies inexpensively and quite easily. And I don't want to come at it from like this fear-based perspective, which is what I see a lot in the media and certain places where I read about health and nutrition. I want us to really approach it in a positive way, knowing that there is a lot we can do and, you know, a lot that we can be aware of. So
it's a really good point, because I think, you know, so I'm somebody that's in the nutrition space, I'm in marketing, and it's like, it's extremely common for like fear and lack, especially around nutrients, to be used as, you know, in the marketing and the sales of those nutrients. So it's like, you know, to build up the fear and the stats and all these things like, oh, you're deficient, you lack this, and really like get people into this like needy state, and then say, well, you know, oh, well, we just so happen to have like the best,
right,
the best version of this nutrient that you're so lacking and is killing.
Yeah. And like the message is so like low vibration about making you feel bad about yourself.
Yes.
And of course, like we all, there's issues that we need to address. Like we talk about bloating a lot because it's an issue. We get asked about it all the time, and I had a lot of bloating. So, but you know, I like to frame things like, oh, here's articles you can read, and here's information, and here's the probiotics that can really help you, versus, oh, this is so bad, 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 and horrible, and you know, just scary. Like there's scary stuff out there that people talk about, and doesn't always have to be so fear inducing, right? Like,
exactly.
So along those lines, we just want to talk about some deficiencies that are quite common and ways that we can, again, work to balance that in your body, in your life. So let's get into the first one, T.
Awesome. Yeah. One of the, you know, the most common, you know, according to statistics and research, is vitamin D. And you've written a lot about this. It's been in the books.
Which is really a hormone.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's a really, really big one. And a lot of it is related. And it's especially common in people with darker pigmented skin, because it's just hard to get enough sunlight when you have a greater need for it. And so, you know, either addressing it either through, you know, sunlight exposure, which is tricky because you don't want to overexpose. And this is a whole other topic. But then, you know, either supplementing, you know, you can get it through mushrooms, but it may be hard to reverse a deficiency just through mushrooms. So, you know.
Well, we talked, Deepak and I wrote about this in Radical Beauty. There's research showing that, you know, we don't want overexposure. And of course, from an anti-aging perspective, we don't want to age our delicate facial skin. So what's suggested, and there's research, and you guys can check it out in the book, there's citations, is actually getting direct sunlight exposure on your limbs. So you can get it on, focus on your arms and your legs. Like let's say just walking through a parking lot, like getting to the store. And if you can get, you know, it depends on if you're really, really fair on the lower end, but just 5 to 10 minutes a couple times a week, you can actually start to build up quite a bit of really helpful vitamin D from that limited exposure, which is very different than we think about, oh, I'm out all day at watching a baseball game or going to the beach or working in the garden all day. It can really just be those few minutes and just on your limbs. And that's a really great way to get sunlight on your body and get the vitamin D.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's a good alternative to, to supplementing. Although there are some good, I mean, we're not going to recommend any specific product on here, but there are some good like vegan friendly, like vitamin D supplements out there. If someone wants to go that route and they just don't either have the time or the ability to get, to get sunlight. But
Yes. Supplementation. And then T, do you want to touch on a little bit the difference between D2 and D3?
I actually linked to it. It gets a little bit technical, I think. Don't you cover that in the book as well a little bit? It's been a little while.
We don't want to we don't get too technical here on the podcast, but there are brands. It was believed that certain types of vitamin D cannot be found from vegan sources. And there are brands that are, being able to create, the more bioavailable sources from plant-based.
Yes.
So I want to point that out because someone was just saying that to me, oh, it's impossible to get the right vitamin D from vegan. And that's not necessarily true. There isn't a particular brand that we're endorsing. I've tried different ones, but there isn't one that I absolutely love and want to get behind 1,000,000%. You guys can check it out for yourself and see. And of course, as we come across one that we love, we love to share things that we love.
Totally.
But you guys can check out the show notes. So sunlight, and then I've always gotten now I live in California and Florida, so I do get a lot of sunlight. And when I get my, especially when I was pregnant and afterwards, I was getting blood tests and I always had good vitamin D levels. But again, if you live in a place without sunlight, you may want to definitely consider supplementation.
Yeah, totally true. The next one, I think this is something that you've been taking a while is, omega-3.
Yes. So omega-3 fats, if you guys missed the interview with Udo Erasmus, we did a really interesting podcast about fat with him. He's a great fat researcher and expert. So according to Udo, if you have enough omega-3 fatty acids in your diet, then your body will convert them into EPA and DHA. Omega-3 fats, I recommend come from seeds like hemp and chia and flax and, walnuts and green leafy vegetables and weeds like purslane are actually really high. As extra insurance, if you are not getting enough omega-3s, and I'm sitting here doing our podcast with my Power Protein smoothie next to me, and I do use the prehydrated chia seeds in this. But we're traveling sometimes. Sometimes you're just not getting enough omega-3s overall. So it is good insurance to take a vegan algae-based DHA EPA. And these are not considered essential fats. The essential fats are the omega-3s, and it's assumed that your body will convert them into the DHA EPA. But because, again, many of us don't get enough omega-3s and there's inflammation in our bodies because we're getting too many omega-6s, we do want to make sure we're getting the DHA and EPA, which is great for brain health and skin health and our hormones, like all kinds of things. And so I like to get them from algae tea because then you're getting it from the direct source versus fish, which can be really contaminated and full of heavy metals like mercury, and fish oil, which can be quite rancid. And those are not sources that I recommend.
Yeah. I don't know if I could say anything more than that. That was perfect. It was a good summation of everything.
Yeah. And, again, it's not to say, like, we definitely do recommend eating omega-3 sources, and there's a whole section again in this in Radical Beauty. But an algae-based DHA EPA is something that is also good insurance. And as you mentioned, T, I have been taking it since I was pregnant and even before that. Yeah. Not every day, but, often.
Yeah, and it's something that I've noticed. I mean, there's so much research around omega-3, but it's something that I've noticed, around brain, when I did, one of the brain trainings that we've discussed before, called BioCybernaut, taking more like omega-3 and in the form of udo's oil actually was really helpful, for me to kind of have more brain stamina for like meditation or concentration and things like that. So, it really does. I think it is super important.
Yeah. So udo's has this, blend of oil, which is really delicate. It can be found in the refrigerated section at Whole Foods and health markets. And if you're going to be using a cold pressed oil, you definitely cannot cook with it. So it doesn't replace coconut oil, for instance, that you may saute with or cook with. But if you're going to put like a little bit of an oil on a salad instead of an olive oil, the udo's oil is really rich in omega-3 fats, so you'd be getting those really essential fats from that. And of course, in Beauty Detox, we don't recommend a lot of oil because it's not a whole food and it can be quite dense. But a little bit of oil, especially like really high quality oil, is definitely definitely part of the program.
Totally. Okay. So next one is vitamin K2, which I think what's kind of cool is like we don't really hear a ton talked about this. You know, we hear a lot about omega-3 or vitamin D even, but I think vitamin K is kind of this like lesser known one that isn't discussed a lot.
Well, I feel like the easiest way to correct this is just to have a glowing green smoothie every day, you know?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
That's a ton of greens.
Exactly. Yeah. Like leafy greens are one of the best natural sources. And apparently when I was doing the research, it was saying that vitamin K is really like a group of compounds, and the most important ones in the family are K1 and K2, which are abundant in dark leafy greens like kale and the other kinds of vegetables that you recommend in the GDS.
Yeah. And so this making it part of your lifestyle, instead of trying to just supplement vitamin K, this is where it's like so many supplements out there, right? Mm-hmm. Just changing your diet, making salads part of your life, having GGS. To me, this is more of like a lifestyle shift and having more veggies, you know?
Exactly. No, I agree with you completely, because I don't think anybody who's really like doing beauty detox like as recommended is going to struggle with vitamin K. It's more of a deficiency. That's
right. There's also vitamin K, tea, and avocados. So that's another great source. You know, just having your avocados as a great whole fat source is excellent as well.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, next one that's very common. There's a lot of research around this deficiency is magnesium.
Yes. I've read somewhere it's like 80% of Americans aren't getting enough magnesium.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the theories are that like magnesium deficiency used to be less common, but the soil, you know, has become much more depleted in magnesium. We are more stressed than ever. So magnesium gets depleted more readily than before. Like there's a lot of factors in it, but the bottom line is a lot of people are not getting enough magnesium. And and so it's something that we should very much address.
Mm-hmm. And so, I've read people say, deficiency in magnesium, just eat a ton of chocolate, which is funny because, you know, we know that cacao has some magnesium, but that's not one of our recommendations, is to sit there and eat an entire dark chocolate bar. it's nice to know that, you know, cacao has some of this nutrient. What are some of your recommendations for the magnesium? Natural.
Yeah. I think the biggest one is the lifestyle, like just like you talked about with vitamin K, the lifestyle change of a lot more dark leafy greens, and there's one of the best sources of magnesium. So that's number one. I think doing like one of the things that is really good and is a really amazing way to I think even sometimes better than like these really questionable magnesium supplements that are out there that like people could take orally, is to use magnesium oil, which comes from like this, you know, comes from the ocean. And it's derived. It's like this salt. It's very salty, but you can put it on your skin.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, and I know you've had the spray tea that, you gave me the 5 months.
Yeah. And so it's, that is something, if you're somebody too who gets like stressed or anxious and you put magnesium oil on your skin, it's one of those things that you can actually feel relaxed within minutes sometimes. It just gets absorbed so quickly and so effectively through the skin versus, you know, consuming it kind of in a pill or a capsule.
Yeah.
Which are certain things like probiotics where you really need it, or enzymes, and a lot of things that we recommend where doing a pill is like really or a capsule is the perfect, and a vegan capsule, of course, is the most effective way to do it. But I think with things like magnesium, if you can do the oil topically, it's really, really amazing. And it's very inexpensive. Like you get a bottle that could last you months for like $10, you know, on Amazon. So that's a really great alternative in addition to the lifestyle change.
That's interesting, T. And like you said, if you're anxious, it's good for you. We know that magnesium helps relax. And I just want to mention that Detoxy has magnesium in it. It's not considered a magnesium supplement by any means, but it's in there with the oxygen because it's a relaxer. And it helps work with the nascent oxygen, but it also helps to relax your bowels. And so if you are deficient in magnesium, that can be a reason that it can contribute to constipation long term, along with many other issues, like your nerves, like your nervous system isn't going to function as well. And so as we mentioned, you mentioned applying it topically to the skin, which is really cool. We talked about the lifestyle, lots of greens, particular spinach, which is in our classic GGS recipe. And I also want to mention to you that seeds and nuts are often great sources, like almonds, almond milk, pumpkin seeds. These are also great foods. Even bananas have good amounts of magnesium.
There's so many great sources. And so I think it is, like you said, it's another one that I think really gets handled very effectively with lifestyle changes. The next one, I think though, this is a really, so we have two more to go. We have like one more of our list and then we have a bonus one. So
bonus. Okay, T. So the next one, let's talk about, because it always comes up when people say that they're plant-based or vegan. So can you guys guess what it is? Good old B12.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. There's so much like hype and fear and questions. And I know it's a very common one.
Yeah. There's plenty of meat eaters, omnivores, shall I say, that are also deficient in B12. Let's get that clear. It's not just that it comes from meat. And so if you eat meat, you're lacking. It actually used to come from the soil. It used to come from like bacterium in the soil. And then now the soil has become so scrubbed and sanitized. It's just not available to us the way it used to be as part of our natural diet. So naturally just around and in our able to obtain naturally from living closely with the environment and eating from the environment.
Yeah, that's a great overview. And so in order to get, especially for somebody who's on a BOD detox diet, and you've written a lot about this because this has been a question you've gotten like since day one of writing about BOD detox, you've recommended some, different solutions over the years. And I know one of them is probiotics too, right? In terms of your natural production of B vitamins, including B12, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like when our guts are working well, our guts actually help us produce B vitamins. So you want to make sure that your gut is well balanced. You have a lot of gut support. And along with that, you also want to make sure that you're eating probiotic rich foods. Probiotic and enzyme salad is another food that's rich in enzymes and probiotics and also B vitamins for that very reason, isn't it, T? Because all the healthy bacteria are able to produce B vitamins.
Yeah, definitely. And then, beyond that, there are, some people will get like a B12 if they're really concerned and they want to get tested, they'll get like a B12 shot. There's vegan B12 supplements that work really well.
Like B complex. And then nutritional yeast also has, the B spectrum, and often have like be fortified or have B12 added in. But if you are vegan long term, you should definitely think about supplementation on top of that.
Yeah, So it is something to be mindful of, but it's not something to be afraid of. It's
Yes.
easy to get in, different foods and in forms and with some of these other corrective measures. So I think it's not a legit source of fear, is the bottom line.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, T, so let's talk about our bonus food.
The bonus nutrient that is like often, it's a big source of deficiency, something that you brought up that I wasn't even, totally aware of, and that is iron. So maybe you could intro that, and then I can kind of talk a little bit about the maybe some of the science around that.
Sure. So iron deficiency, I was reading recently in a Harvard Health report, is on the rise, and anemia is on the rise, which affects everything from our energy levels and beyond. And so it's something that we need to pay attention to. I get quite a few questions in the community and around about iron and anemia. So it is common, I think, T, and it's also becoming more common, which is why we should address it here.
Yeah, and one of the things I read is that like some of the signs are fatigue is a really big one. If it, like you feel
Yes.
fatigue and you don't understand why, and it's kind of sudden, or there doesn't seem to be a lifestyle explanation for it, in terms of like lack of sleep or some other issue, that could be a sign that iron is an issue. I've heard some things related to menstruation, but see, I'm not a woman, so it's a little harder for me to comment on that one.
Yeah, of course. Bruising easily, which is something I experienced many years ago. But I want to stress that iron deficiency isn't something that is targeted at plant-based people. There's actually omnivores experience iron deficiency and anemia because they're not absorbing it. So it's not just something that affects vegans. I want to make that clear.
Sure, yeah. And there are actually, what's kind of interesting is that I think but there's an abundance of people don't realize this, because I think they think of like they correlate iron with blood, and then they therefore you think that like only foods with blood have like iron in them somehow. I think there's this weird perception around iron that like only red meat has iron
Yeah.
in it, and it's just not true. Like all legumes have iron, like grains like quinoa, nuts and seeds, green leafy vegetables, tomatoes. There's a lot of plant-based sources of iron that if you eat enough of them and in a rich enough diversity that you can really get, you can get a good amount of iron.
Exactly. And black beans are a great source, like you said, different legumes. And also when it comes to greens tea, we take the position where you can have and you should have raw veggies and raw greens and also cooked veggies and cooked greens. So you definitely want to have more. You want to have both.
Yes. Yeah, that's a really good point. Because then that you're getting kind of, like you said, there's a different, almost like different nutrient spectrum that's kind of available in the cooked form than in the raw form that, helps you kind of balance that out and get even more from that food category.
Well, I think this is a good
We covered a lot. Yeah, it's
we
like
were just like one nutrient to the next. So I hope you guys found this interesting. We'll link to more information in the show notes, but just to sum up, we covered vitamin D, omega-3, vitamin K, magnesium, B12, and iron. And again, knowing that once it doesn't have to be so scary and so complicated, the main idea is to eat a wide variety of whole foods, to follow the beauty detox program, to have your glowing green smoothie every day, vary your greens, vary your fruit, just basics. And if you are vegan long term, you can supplement with B12, but knowing that it's not necessary to eat animal foods to get iron and to get a lot of these nutrients and they're often complex and there's cofactors involved and it's not just it's not so overly simplistic as saying, oh, well, I need to eat meat to get this and that. It's just not the way it is. And Tony and I can speak to that. We've both been plant-based long-term, yes. And we certainly don't have any of these deficiencies. So, you guys can check out the show notes for more information. And thank you so much, T, for everything. And this was really great and really helpful, I think.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you, beauties, for tuning in. We'll be right back right after the break.
Around the turn of the century, the introduction of pesticides, herbicides, and other chemicals into food processing quickly diminished the farm-to-table ingestion of raw fruits and vegetables, which contain life-sustaining organisms known as SBOs. Now we need these beneficial bacteria more than ever, and it's why many of our community members opt to subscribe to our monthly discounted option, because they realize that Beauty Detox probiotics are one of the few supplements we need as long as we're not living and eating in the wild. Sign up for your subscription today at shop.kimberlysnyder.com.
Tickets are now on sale for my East Coast Radical Beauty Immersion Tour in July. The theme of this tour is learning how to access your own unique beauty with tips and insights based off my latest book, Radical Beauty, and how to really live it. Tickets are $35 and selling fast. To learn more and purchase your ticket, please go to kimberlysnyder.com/events. Okay, beauties, welcome back for a special interview I have for you guys today. You may have heard him on here before. He's one of our favorite guests, and it's my Ayurvedic teacher, Dr. J. Thank you so much, Dr. J, for being back with us today.
Hello. Namaste, Kimberly. Namaste, all.
Namaste, Dr. J. So we've talked about before a variety of topics from the Ayurvedic perspective about menstrual cycle to spring foods and summer foods, and so on and so forth, and how to eat in the winter. So now a question that I've been getting about a lot in general has to do with sleep. And as we know, sleep is a problem for many of us. We live in a very overstimulated world with lots of different devices and long commutes. And a lot of us work late, and then it's hard to get a restful sleep or for whatever reason. So Dr. J, from the Ayurvedic perspective, I'm not sure if they wrote about sleep as an issue in the Charaka Samhita, the ancient text, but are there specific spices and herbs that help with sleep from an Ayurvedic point of view?
Yes, good question. Was it there recorded 5,000 years ago? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is called Anidra or Nidra Nasha. That means no sleep or sleeplessness. Mm. Definitely, some health conditions do cause sleeplessness. There is a reference to it in the classical texts of Ayurveda, Kimberly.
Mm.
Yeah. So
it was a thing then. It's a bigger thing now, right? What do the texts say is the actual root cause? Do they say it's like elevated vata? I know back then they didn't have things like long commutes and you know, cell phones. But what I'm interested in what the roots were back then in the texts.
Roots were mostly because of, as you said, vata, which is the unsettling nervous energy that gets squeezed. Or it sometimes can be pitta too, the irritability with the heat.
Both,
like which we see in, you know, menopausal women, they can't sleep because the body has so much heat inside. At the same time, you know, in people who are wired to, as you're saying, you know, like stimulating things like electronics, they can't go to sleep as well because the vata is high. So both of them are culture factors.
Well, and you know, when you say pitta, Dr. J, there's fire. What about if people are overworked or they have jobs where they need to be fiery and argue and like lawyers, for instance, or just like certain jobs, is that contributing to the pitta aspect as well?
Absolutely. Undoubtedly true.
Wow. So, okay. So if there's, it's pitta and it's vata contributing to the sleep issues, what are some, I know it's hard when people have different body types and different constitutions, but what can we say are some overall good spices, for instance, they can cook with for dinner?
So pitta and vata, remember, both of them are light. One is wind, which is light. Take the energy of wind is vata. The energy of fire is pitta, which is also light. So both of them are light. So you are looking at something to ground or something to fix the mind to the body. That's what we are looking at. So best will be nutmeg. So nutmeg has very aromatic qualities. You can, you know, make, some of you might have heard of golden milk, which is done with turmeric, right? So everybody knows about, nowadays, if I say turmeric and golden milk, everybody knows about it. But with the turmeric, if you add nutmeg, which is another secret ingredient that can be really, really helpful in calming the mind down and then, you know, soothing effect on both vata and pitta.
Oh, wow. And you can even put nutmeg in khichdi. You can use it in savory dishes too, can't you?
Yeah, you can.
Balance it.
Absolutely, you can. There's nothing wrong about it. But you need to have a liquid media. In my observation, it's better to have a liquid media because it gets absorbed quicker. And you don't want to cook nutmeg too long. It loses its active oil that's present in it. So it's better to take it in a liquid form, Kimberly.
Oh, could you make like a tea with it?
Yeah, you can make a tea with it. And again, caution, if you take too much of nutmeg, it may give you a little bit of high. So you want to take only a little bit, just about a pinch of nutmeg into milk, like almond milk drink or coconut milk drink. You can definitely add turmeric because in Ayurveda, turmeric is called as nisha. Nisha means something that needs to be taken at nighttime. To calm down the mind. So nutmeg with turmeric is a great combination.
So like after dinner, you could make a little tea or make a milk with, like you said, turmeric, like a golden milk afterwards and sip on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then what about,
Go ahead.
What if you want it sweet? You know, a lot of us are vegan, plant-based, and some don't have honey, but I know Ayurveda talks about honey, or you could blend it with some dates or have some coconut nectar or something like that.
Yeah, the sweet taste is also important, Kimberly. It also, you know, helps both vata and pitta to calm down. And it gives the mind a sensation of, you know, being loved, being cared. And your selections were, you know, very good. You don't want to put a, you know, crystalline white sugar. You want to choose something natural like coconut nectar, etc. that you talked about will be really good in combination with the turmeric and then the nutmeg. You can use it in the form of a tea or a milk. Either way, it's fine.
You know, Dr. J, not to go on a little side tangent here, but we also live in a society where people are just obsessed with sugar and have so many sugar cravings. Do you think there's a relationship from the Ayurvedic standpoint about the excess pitta and the fire in society and people just need that balance, that soothing sweetness to help cool them down? Like, do you think that might have anything to do with it?
Yes. It not only body need, Kimberly, it's both mental. A body and a mind. It's a reflection of both. See, somebody who is not very satisfied with his work or her work will gravitate towards more sweet because it makes them feel comfortable and soothing. So they would, on top of it, the internal pitta and vata that has increased because of the stress also gets calmed down. So that's why people gravitate towards sweet. So, you know, commonly that as you pointed out.
Okay, so keeping back to our topic of sleep, I love this nutmeg, turmeric milk idea, Dr. J. And what about, you know, something we talk about in Beauty Detox is eating foods, like some of these comforting one-pot dishes, and I've introduced the community, Dr. J, to khichdi, which so many people love. And, you know, plus at the end of the day, sometimes it's really hard to make, you know, very intricate dishes. It's just easier to make one pot meals. So what do you think about soup for dinner or stews, things like that?
Really helpful because both in Ayurveda and in Chinese medicine, we don't encourage people to eat very something like khichdi. which is the elixir of Ayurvedic diet and nutrition. So if they can add things like some almonds or some pumpkin seeds into the khichdi that they are doing, it will also help them to ground themselves and sleep better.
Mm.
Yep.
Well, and so, Dr. J, let's talk about some practices, some Ayurvedic practices besides the spices and so on. And one thing we've talked about a lot, especially when I was pregnant, what really helped me was, which is when I really got into doing it regularly, was Abhyanga, which is something I write about in Radical Beauty, is the self-oil massage. And I know Dr. J in Ayurveda is traditionally done in the morning, but for me, timing-wise, I just feel like I do it in the evening, and I feel like it helps me sleep. What do you think about that?
Yeah, there is no morning or evening time, Kimberly, ideally in the morning, because in those days, people were, like I'm talking in the times of the original Charaka Samhita, the time was, people used to get according to the time, day. So they start early so that they can, daylight saving happens because you do all your routine. Because in the nighttime, you come back, it's already dark. There was no concept of light. So it's nothing a problem if they do Abhyanga late in the evening. It's absolutely fine. Getting into what the Abhyanga does, it looks at calming down the vata energy, the wind, because skin is the direct extension of your nervous system. So it calms you down and it nourishes your skin, giving you a good sleep. Because one of the benefits that Ayurveda lists for doing Abhyanga or oil massage on a daily basis is inducing sleep, taking away fatigue. You know, the fatigue is gone, sleep is introduced into your mind. So that's one of the best things you can do. Now, you know, people may say, okay, I don't have so much of time, I can't put my oil on, and so there is a shorter version of it, which is just doing massage of the feet. So people are, they come back home from their work, finish their dinner, they're sitting in there just, you know, relaxing, take some coconut oil, rub it on your feet, especially on the heel, rotate your ankles, and then rub on the sole. That's one of the best things that they can do.
So, why the heel specifically, Dr. J?
Yeah, heel causes grounding. See, the area where... So the Ayurvedic, sages have found that, you know, heel is the part where you need to massage to ground yourself. So the oil should be applied to the heel, in a nicely squeezing action on the heel, and the rotation of the ankle by, properly securing the ankle and then holding the toes and then rotating it will give a wonderful relaxing, signal to the brain, so that there is no, continuous stressful situation. Now you can relax. That's what is the signal that's sent to the brain.
I love that. That's doable, like you said, while you're doing something else, or if you're on the phone, or, just kind of working it into your evening routine.
Correct.
Or even, I do it sometimes, Dr. J, when I'm reading a book at night, I'll just take out some oil, like you said, and rub one of my feet at a time.
Yeah. And then, women, you talk about beauty, the feet look so, soft and then beautiful, because the coconut oil rightly nourishes the sole of the feet. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, there's so many nerves and energy points in the feet too, aren't there, Dr. J?
Yes, there is a classical reference. It says that the two channels from the feet go directly to your eyes. This is according to a 780 book, which says, if you massage your feet, there are two channels that go directly from the feet to your eyes. If you work on your feet, you're relaxing the eyes.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice to do at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yes. And, they can put on a old sock and go to sleep, or they can even just wipe off with a clean towel and then go to sleep. It'll, greatly benefit their sleeping pattern.
Yeah. So, Dr. J, last thing, because we talked about, vata being imbalanced is, a big cause of insomnia. not just for dinner, but just some general grounding foods for people that have a Vata imbalance? I know you mentioned almonds and pumpkin seeds. Can you talk about some general good Vata foods in general, like root vegetables, things like that?
Yeah. First, you know, you can take the root vegetables, Kimberly, but still, the key point will be adding oils to any of these, you know, if you take pumpkin or if you take sweet potatoes or yams or something like that, they need to be properly sauteed with a good oil. It may be coconut oil, it may be almond oil, it may be olive oil. It needs to be properly, you know, like saturated with some amount of good fat, which, you know, lubricates these vegetables that you're talking about. Secondly, you will have rice is one among them, believe it or not. Rice, but it should be steam cooked, or it should be consumed as noodles, which is slow to digest, rather than, you know, anything like processed rice will be quicker to digest. So
sure,
yeah, rice will be a good choice. Thirdly, they can even go towards some beans and legumes, like, you know, lentils or mung bean, which again need to be processed with some amount of oil. So key factor, I keep repeating to all our audience, is a little good fat comes a long way.
But then some Vata people get really gassy with beans, huh, Dr. J? Maybe. Yeah. Sprouting, like I sprout my lentils before I cook them. Like, that's a good idea.
Yeah, pre-soaking is a good idea. Cooking from is a good idea. But that's why the oil is such a good factor to take away the gas. Then again, you know, if they want to cook it with ginger or some coriander, that also takes away the gas from the lentils and keeps them, you know, grounded when they consume it to have a better sleep.
Amazing, Dr. J. Well, this is so helpful, and I hope you guys are inspired to incorporate some of these tips to help promote better sleep, which, as we know, is just important for everything, for our health, for our beauty and our skin and our energy and just being the best that we can every day as we go out into the world. So thank you so much, Dr. J. This is fantastic.
Yeah. Beauty is in sleep too, Kimberly.
Yes, beauty is in sleep, Dr. J. And I love that the ancient Ayurvedic texts talked about this, you know, yeah. And they seem to really know everything that we need addressed. So it's fantastic. And so everyone, we're also going to link in the show notes to Dr. J's website, and you can check out, he's a fantastic line of organic Ayurvedic products. It's at letsallbehealthy.com. And we use Dr. J's Shatavari and Amalaki and Ashwagandha at Glow Bio and my organic smoothie shop. And he's got lots of really interesting things on there. So you guys can check it out, and we'll provide the link as well. So thank you so much, Dr. J, for being with us. We love having you always.
Thank you, Kimberly. Thank you, guys. Sleep well and
inclusive. Namaste.
Namaste to you.
Okay, here we go, beauties, with our tip of the week. Organize your shoes and take one or two or even more pairs to a secondhand store. Keeping your house clutter-free is essential in removing distractions and unwanted energy from your life. Try cleaning out your closet this week, and again, starting with a few pairs of shoes is a great way to go. Okay, beauties, I will be back with you on Thursday for my Q&A session show, where I answer questions from the Beauty Detox community. To submit your question, please go to KimberlySnyder.com/AskKimberly. Thanks so much, and see you again soon. And always remember, progress, not perfection, as true beauty comes from the inside out.